This is Jacob Price, writer of Reading the Greens on jacobcprice.com, and you're listening to Deep in the Rough, a bi-weekly podcast looking at what's going on in the world and why it matters to the younger generations. Last week, the Supreme Court ruled on an abortion case called Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt. Abortion has been legal since the Roe v. Wade case in 1973 and was reaffirmed in the 1992 case Planned Parenthood versus Casey, with the Supreme Court reaffirmed a woman's right to have an abortion. The 1992 5-4 ruling stated states can't put unnecessary regulations that have the purpose or effect of imposing an undue burden on those pursuing an abortion. However, the court never determined what an undue burden was, which is what makes last week's ruling so important. The 5-3 ruling in favor of the abortionist activists last week throws out a Texas abortion law passed in 2013 named House Bill 2, or HB 2. The Texas bill states that doctors practicing an abortion must have admitting privileges within a hospital within 30 miles of the clinic. Abortions after 20 weeks post-fertilization are banned, except in cases of a severe fetal abnormality. Abortion clinics must meet the minimum standards of ambulatory surgical centers. Abortion-inducing drugs must be used according to FDA regulations, and after taking abortion-inducing drugs, there must be a follow-up appointment within 14 days. The bill, which had already passed the Court of Appeals, had not yet been put into place due to an emergency ruling in 2014 placing a temporary block on portions of the law. Had the law been passed, the amount of abortion clinics remaining open in Texas would drop from 40 to 7. Pro-abortionists argued that women seeking an abortion would be required to travel over 300 miles in some cases, hindering the ability to receive an abortion, thus placing an undue burden on the mother. Anti-abortionists claim these requirements are not intentionally making it harder to receive an abortion, but are making it safer for the mother. Pro-choice activists are pointing to the statistics that abortions are indeed safe for the mother, leaving there no need for harsher laws. However, ProLifeAction.org, as well as other groups and websites, bring up arguments and examples that these statistics may not paint the whole picture. This is ProLife.org speaking on the matter. Quote, "A low number of deaths and injuries are being reported, which leads to the statistics as low as they are. This found in a grand jury's report. Quote, state law requires hospitals to report complications from abortions. A decade ago, a Gosnell patient died at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania after a botched abortion. The hospital apparently filed the necessary report, but victims kept coming in. At least three other Gosnell patients were brought to Penn facilities for emergency surgery. Emergency room personnel says they have treated many others as well. And at least one additional woman was hospitalized there after Gosnell had begun a flagrantly illegal abortion of a 29-week-old fetus. Yet, other than the one initial report, Penn could not find a single case in which it complied with its legal duty to alert authorities to the danger. Not even when a second woman turned up virtually dead," end quote. ProLifeAction.org goes on to say, quote, "The grand jury identified five instances of women who came into the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania because of botched abortions. The emergency room staff admitted to having treated, quote, many others, and yet only one report was ever filed. If only one in five abortion injuries are reported, abortion injuries could be five times higher than the abortion industry reports, or more, because the emergency room staff didn't bother to count the numerous women they treated from botched abortions," end quote. The killing of humans, born or unborn, is an evil act. When looking at abortions, I come from a biblical worldview, not a biased political one. I stand on God's word and not man's. Because the Bible says that life is precious and of value, Christians should not only be concerned for the safety of the unborn child, but also for the safety of the mother. The requirements that would be put into place, had the bill passed, would be for the further protection of the mother. It is reasonable and common sense for a doctor practicing abortion to be able to admit a patient into a hospital within a radius of 30 miles should something go wrong, as many cases did in the grand jury report. It makes sense for an abortion clinic to be required to be up to code to other centers carrying out surgical operations. It would be dangerous if drugs entering the body of a person were not required to meet FDA regulations. It makes sense that a woman would need to have a follow-up appointment within 14 days of having an abortion. These regulations do not only bring protection to those who are unborn, but are very focused on the mother's safety. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says, quote, "The decision erodes states' lawmaking authority to safeguard the health and safety of women and subjects more innocent life to being lost. Texas's goal is to protect innocent life while ensuring the highest health and safety standards for women," end quote. Why does this matter to young Christians? The Supreme Court is ruling in favor of abortionists any time an abortion case is brought up. Supreme Court Justice Thomas says, the ruling, quote, exemplifies the court's troubling tendency to bend the rules when any effort to limit abortion or even to speak in opposition to abortion is at issue, end quote. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito wrote in his dissent, quote, when we decide cases on particularly controversial issues, we should take special care to apply settled procedural rules in a neutral matter. The court has not done that here, end quote. Not only does this ruling add to an evident trend in the Supreme Court's rulings, this ruling does something the 1992 ruling didn't do. It gives definition to what an undue burden is. The ruling itself immediately affects three states, Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana, but really affects the nation as a whole. Future laws with any similarities to Texas's HB2 will now be automatically challenged and struck down because the Supreme Court has established a precedent for the entire nation. When we look to the future, we can expect the outcomes of rulings involving the Supreme Court to get further and further away from biblical principles. The next story shifts into a different gear. Tim Tebow was on a plane when an elderly man appeared to be having heart issues. Tim Tebow did exactly what we would expect him to and went back to where the situation was occurring and prayed with the family. He didn't necessarily do anything drastic in the sense that he saved the man's life in a heroic fashion, but he acted on his faith as he has repeatedly done. Tebow has a limited amount of success when it comes to the NFL. When I think of Tim Tebow, I do, of course, think back to his historic college football career and his relatively short-lived career as a professional football player. But the thing I think of first is his faith. Tim Tebow is not the first person to come to the forefront as a Christian, and he won't be the last. A characteristic he does have that many, unfortunately, do not is that he constantly backs up his statement of faith with actions that reaffirm his claims. We will never be able to truly know someone's heart. Only God knows that. But we can see if someone is living in contradiction to what they are saying. Tim Tebow is not only proclaiming his faith in Christ, but he's also living out what we would expect from someone professing their faith in Christ, even when it's hard. Tim Tebow received criticism for his actions as he has throughout his career. This has not stopped him from proclaiming Christ with both his words and his actions. We should look at this as an example of how to live out our lives, not in the sense that we should be just like Tim Tebow, but when we proclaim with our mouths that we are Christians, we need to understand that our actions should back it up. With that, I hope you have gained as much from this as I did researching the topics. The song in the beginning and end of the show is Forest Fire, written and performed by Recaptured. I'm speaking to you from Boston, Massachusetts, and I'll see you in 2 weeks, back here, deep in the rough.